Starting a new perek, Yisrael Tisharim perek Kaf Aleph, how to acquire chassidus and be careful to stay away from that which causes one to lose. Hinei mimashe yo'il harbe liknot ha-chassidus, hu godel ha-istaklus v'rov ha-isbonen. This is something which you have to pay attention to, focus on, notice, both by using your mind, your seichel, look around what's happening, and also after to contemplate. The first stage of istaklus is just like noting what's going on around you, seeing what things work for people, seeing what could work for you, paying attention to which good deeds. As you grow up as a child, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. How do you discover? You look around. These things are praiseworthy. These things you get praised for. These things are inappropriate. As you grow and you develop more by watching more people and by watching the feedback you get from people and what you do, you start to identify what are the good things out there, what are the appropriate things, istaklus. But also it's bonus. People do those things. It looks good now, but where does it end up long term? Ki kasher yarbeh ha'adam litbonen al godel rov motzo yisbarach v'tachles shei motzo v'rov ha'archeka bilti meshu'ar ben gedulaso ben shifluseinu yigrom lo shi'imaleh yir'ah v'ra'adam elefanav. That's adding another point. What do you specifically need to contemplate? This you can't look at, but you can contemplate. Kasher yarbeh ha'adam litbonen, when a person contemplates, Godel Roman Musa Yisbarach. V'tachlis Shlei Musa. The first stage is to contemplate Hashem. That's a little beyond us to do. How do you contemplate the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the main two ways are through history and through nature. When you look at history and you see what the Kodesh Baruch Hu has done for Am Yisrael throughout the nation, how he's kept us alive throughout all the different exiles that we've been through, and you identify the Torah and the beauty and the wisdom of Torah, and you learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, and you, as you learn more and you see more about the wisdom of Torah, and you develop an understanding of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the understanding of His wisdom, and seeing throughout history how He's running the world, developing the world, and you look at science, and you look at nature, and you see how perfectly everything interconnects, and the harmony of the science, cycle of life, and you see all these expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, you can't go beyond that. We can't go to higher worlds and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more pristine form. We can only see what we can see. But what we can see, we have to look at. That's through Torah and through the history and through science, through nature. That's the way we are able to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more you do that with the mindset of identifying Hashem, the more you'll be amazed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you obviously have to have the hachana for it. You could have someone who learns science, and the more he learns science, the more he becomes aware of Hashem and close to Hashem. And someone else can learn science, and the more he learns science, the more he comes further away from Hashem. What's going on? It's the same people, same material. But there's a hachana that's necessary. If a person is open, his heart is open to be able to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then when he sees the beauty and the harmony in nature, he'll identify and attribute and say, that's the Yad of Hashem. How could that be anything else? He can't say it's the Yad of Hashem when it's something random, he doesn't understand it. But when he sees inside how everything works, and he sees the perfect and the harmony and the shleimus that exists there, he's able to identify. Someone who doesn't believe, he's not interested in believing, he'll see it and he'll say, what a fluke that is. That's amazing how that happened. It was so random. That of billions and billions and billions of worlds that could have potentially came, like I happen to be just in that one. The person is going to be stubborn about it. He could deny that he's seeing shleimus and a harmony. Or he could, and he could just say, tzarech ir, what it's all about. And not attribute it back. But if a person is looking to connect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will awaken a sense of Roman Musav Hashem. And also in history, if you look at the Jewish people's history, a person could say, an anti-Semite could say, look how terrible the Jews are. Every country in the world has tried to kill them. Egypt tried to kill them, and Germany tried to kill them, and Spain tried to kill them, and they were expelled in every country. Don't the people realize how bad the Jews... That's one option, you know. That's a way one could conclude by looking at history. If a person has an agenda, or alternatively, a person could say, how is it possible that no other nation in the world ever has been through so much and continues to exist? There must be a hand watching over us. There must be a God who's taking care of us. One is more logical than the other one. But it's still the way you're choosing to notice. If you choose to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be able to identify Him. But Hashem will always leave it open enough that you can also deny. He will always leave it in a way that if you wish to use your free will, you can use your free will to come close to him. But if you wish to choose to deny your free will, you can also deny that there's free will and ignore Hashem. He'll always leave it in a way that you can choose. So if you choose to notice, leit bonen, it's not obvious, unless you meet bonen. But if you choose meet bonen, there's enough out there. If a person's learning Torah, and you, through Torah you choose to come to close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will feel close to Hashem through learning Torah. If you choose to use Torah to become more arrogant, then a person could use Torah in a way of against Hashem. And he'll have Torah learning as a way of making him more arrogant. That's a choice. But with being misbonen for and seeking out Ramos Hashem, you could find that too. I remember the exact case, but I was once involved in a conversation where there was a couple who were married, but they were going through maybe getting divorced. And I was with someone who was trying to help them stay together, who was telling me about a conversation that he had with one side or the other side. And the one side blamed the other side, and the other side blamed back. But the one side was trying to make peace. But they still blamed. But it's their fault. So the first one said back, so if it's the other one's fault, then you see like this isn't meant to be, and let's just leave it. And he said, no, I'm not coming to blame because I'm trying to say that we should break it up. I'm coming to blame. I'm not even trying to blame. I'm just trying to say that, like, this hasn't been researched properly and we haven't looked into it. And, like, it's their fault for not investing in the relationship. But I want to invest in the relationship. Anyway, the reason why that just came to me now is because sometimes a person can say something which you can take in a totally different way. When they said about blaming, they just meant, I want to invest in this relationship and the other side hasn't even tried to invest. Goal being, let's invest. That was what they meant to say. But the other person who had an agenda of breaking it up, they heard, you're blaming, so let's drop it. But that wasn't what they meant. That's the words they said, but that wasn't what they meant. So depending on what your agenda is, you'll hear different things. The agenda of saying, you haven't invested, oh, so you're blaming me for not investing, so we'll leave it. It depends what your goal is. You'll be able to see. Both sides are options. One side is a true option. Hopefully you'll choose that one. But Hashem will always leave it to you to be open enough to be able to deny. So, that was point number one of his bonen. Point number two is shifluseinu. How not perfect we are. Take that level of humility. Let me talk about a closer area and then we'll go back to this area. If someone comes to, it could be to yeshiva or to any shiur they're in or any connection with the Rebbe they have, and they have a sense of arrogance about them, they're not going to be able to receive from the Rebbe. Because when the Rebbe says a chiddush, then they're going to like show why it doesn't make sense. And when they say something wrong and the Rebbe tries to try and refine them, to help them what they're saying, to fit it better into the words and make it more accurate, to make it make more sense, they won't be open to him. Now the Rebbe doesn't have any agenda other than helping the Talmud grow. He has the Talmud's best interest at heart. And if a Talmud is modest and is willing to hear what the Rebbe has to say, then he'll go from a svara which is not refined to a svara which is more refined. And his own understanding will be more developed. And if the Rebbe, and if the Talmud isn't refined in his midas, and the Rebbe points something out, and the Talmud is open to that, then he'll say, oh, thank you, Rebbe. You mentioned a good point that I needed to hear. I can grow from that. But if someone's arrogant, then when the Rebbe makes a suggestion, they'll like knock it out. Whether it's a suggestion in learning, or it's a suggestion in character development, they'll say, like, who are you to tell me? You do this and this. They won't say those words, but they'll be thinking that to themselves. So arrogance can get in the way of a person being able to receive. That's where they're ready. With Hashem, it's also very much true. If a person is arrogant in respect to Hashem, meaning they think that they are the ones who made themselves. They don't use those words, but when they say, you know how I got to be who I am today? I put in hard work. I made myself. I'm a self-made man. Was it Sechad Ishmael? I don't know. I just see that I put in work, and that's how I became what I became. Now, it is true they put in work, and that did help them come along, but other people put in effort and aren't successful. How come you put in work and you were successful? I can tell you, I've personally seen people putting effort in yeshiva, and it's flown for them. It's been very successful for them. I've seen people putting an effort in the yeshiva, and it didn't really work, or at least they didn't feel a connection to Torah. They didn't feel that they had been successful. That's not true. They really were successful, but they didn't perceive it in that way. Because their efforts weren't in proportion. Sorry, the success was not in proportion to the effort. They put in a lot of effort, and they succeeded a little bit. And they felt they didn't have. So what happened? They had Tzadik Shema, they didn't have Tzadik Shema. That doesn't mean that they're less favorable in the eyes of Hashem. Maybe that's their mission. The fact that you get Tzadik Shema doesn't mean that you're better. Because Baruch Hu gives certain people more intelligence than people less. That's part of God-given. Doesn't make any difference in Shemaim. In Shemaim, all matters is like what you do with what you're given. That's all that really matters. But it all depends on our humility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have room for people who are arrogant in this world. So even if you are able to recognize the greatness of Hashem, but then your next line is, just like me. The guy great Hashem is just like me. And a person without humility won't be able to then receive the greatness of Hashem. So not only does this bonus have to be the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this bonus also has to be the fragility of man. How I am successful, but I recognize that it's only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has enabled me to be successful. And every time I think of my success, my default emotion is gratitude. It's thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it wouldn't be without you. That's just the natural where it has to come. It's also unhealthy for a person not to feel successful, because then you're not accepting the gift that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you. You have to accept the success that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you and channel it towards gratitude. So when a chassid is misbonin on these two points, on the one hand he's misbonin on Godel Rav Moshe Yisburach, how wholesome Hashem is, how awesome Hashem is. And he contemplates that through his learning of Torah, through studying history, through looking at nature. And then he also looks about how he independently would be a failure. Without the Yad Hashem, without the Sefer Shmai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. One thing I often think of is that I have a close friend who we came to yeshiva together. I've probably mentioned this before. And there's no difference between us, really. Background's pretty the same. Level was pretty the same. In every respect, we're the same. But our paths of lives were so different. My path in life was that I stayed in yeshiva, and I got married young, and I was zochet to a family. His path in life was he had to leave yeshiva early. His father passed away immediately after that happened. He started a degree in one place and then he had to leave that country because of visa issues. And he had to restart again. And he looked for a wife for 10 years until he found his wife. And then he waited another 7 years until he had his first child. Baruch Hashem now, he has his degree, he has a wife, he has two children. But it was very hard with a lot of nisyonos and a lot of struggling and a lot of pain. And there was no difference. Like, he's in Midas and you're at Shemaim. Like, we really came into yeshiva and still. So there was Yad Hashem over here. And there was Yad Hashem over there. I mean, they're both Yad Hashem. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose one path, which is better. I don't know which is better. It's definitely easier, my one, for me. It looks easy. It looks smooth. It looks path. Is it better? I don't know. Have I grown as much in Yad Shemaim as he's gone? Probably not. Probably he grew more than me. Because I never went through Nisyonos. And a person grows through his illness. So he's probably grown closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu than I have. So what's better? Olam HaEmes will find out what's better. On service value, his is better. Because he had more opportunities to feel the need to turn to Hashem and daven to Hashem. I didn't really have that. I'm much more easy to, in my situation, it's much easier to be arrogant. Nothing. I never had to turn to Hashem. Everything just kind of went smoothly. But I can also choose to be humble, and I can choose to turn to Hashem and say, thank you for everything that happened. So it's not that one way is right and one way is wrong, and there's no way of telling who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. You can't tell anything from this external situation. But what you can identify is, for him directly and for me to learn from him, is that life is frail and life is fragile. And even if you are successful, it's not because of you. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up your life situation to go on this path and his in that path, and you're just playing out a role that Hashem has given you. But you have to realize that it's not because of you. If you're wealthy, it's not because of you. If you're poor, it's not because of you. If you're successful in any area, it's not because of you. It happens to be that Hashem gave you that particular role to play. But don't take anything for granted. Don't become arrogant. Don't become angry. Lose faith. It's all a role that you're playing out. That's shifluteinu. And if you contemplate both of those points, the godless of Hashem and the shiflus of yourself, yigrom lo shimale yirav ra'adam lefav. That's how you feel the closest to Hashem. You're aware of how great He is and how in control and how powerful and how loving, how awesome He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is through the learning of Torah, through the history. And how you, by yourself, are hopeless. Hopeless. Chazal saying, if a person wants to fight the Yetzer Hara, he cannot stand up against the Yetzer Hara. Man is programmed to be weaker than the Yetzer Hara. You have no hope of fighting the Yetzer Hara. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you out. And that evens the battle. If you turn to Hashem. If you don't turn to Hashem, He won't. That's why He makes it like that. He didn't make it that you and the Yetzer Hara were equal. Because then if you would be successful, you'd think it's because of you. He made it that your natural way is that you can't fight the Yetzer Hara. You'll have a sense of being overwhelmed. You'll have a sense that the Yetzer Hara is too strong. You'll have that sense. But then you can turn to Hashem for help, and you can't be successful against it. To help us realize that only because of Hashem are we successful against the Yetzer Hara, but not because of you naturally. And that model, that system that Hashem made helps us in this His bonus. Uvisbonusu al rov chasada v'imanu. And then as you continue in your concert, point number one was the greatness of Hashem. Point number two is how frail and fragile we are. And then as you continue and you start contemplating all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to you. And why did He do it? Godel ahavasoyis barach li Yisrael, because He loves you. Because He loves me. Because He loves all of Am Yisrael. And as you contemplate that point, where does it come from? Hashem didn't need to do this. Why is He doing it? Hashem is all powerful. I'm hopeless. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me and He's helping me out. For al kirvat yesharim, my love. And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving those who are close to Him close. And even if a Jew is sinning, and even if a Jew is denying Him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still empowers that Jew and gives him koach. Still gives him another chance. Still believe. A Jew is using the koach that Hashem has given him to sin against Hashem. As the person doing the Avera, Hashem is empowering him to do that Avera. And Hashem is saying, I still have faith in you that you're going to turn around and you can come close to me. Ah, but I'm using your strength, Hashem, to do an Avera. I still believe in you, even if you're doing it. Nothing you can do is going to make me not believe in you, Hashem says. As long as you're alive, it means Hashem believes in you. Uma'alat ha-Torah v'amitzvos. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we acknowledge His love for us, the opportunity to come close to Him, the opportunity to grow in Torah, the opportunity to do mitzvahs, the kayotzim in the iyonim v'alimodim. This all comes out from you putting an effort, from learning, from understanding. As you contemplate these points, your love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get stronger and stronger. It will be firing within you, enthusiastic within you, your desire for Hashem. If you don't contemplate this, then a person kind of just goes through life by going through emotions. I was born Jewish. I was born to a from family. This is what was expected in my social surroundings. Okay, that's what I'll do. But even if you were born into it, you can also choose it by identifying that it doesn't have to be this way. There are maybe people in your life who didn't follow the same path that you took or weren't given the opportunities you were given, who have more of a challenge, and you were given that. Identify those. And thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them. Even things that you have, that other people have, you shouldn't take for granted. I mean, we've all recently been through Corona. Right? Many things that we took for granted, we didn't have anymore. And now that we Baruch Hashem, as far as daily living is concerned, we finished Corona. Right? Are we still appreciative to the same degree? Or have we kind of just come back to normal and forgotten about it? It's a choice. It's a choice. You can choose to daily focus on the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. And that doesn't mean you have to sit there and say, I'm now going to contemplate all the good. It just means that, like, as you're learning, allow yourself to feel gratitude for the fact that you're learning. You don't have to do anything more. Just learn, but allow the emotion to surface. Some people are, like, stoic like this. Like, I'm not going to feel. It is what it is. I'm not going to feel. But it's a choice to allow your emotions to surface. You can. And I'm recommending you do. As you learn, allow yourself to feel. You don't have to do anything externally, like we said yesterday. Hasna lechetim Hashem elokech. You can be private about it. You don't have to show it off to other people. You can be enthusiastic within your heart without needing it to overflow. Sometimes it's good that it overflows. Other people can be inspired by it as well. It doesn't have to be. It could be between you and Hashem. But allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to feel the gratitude. Anyone who's here today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them a healthy dosage of Shmaya, to be in yeshiva and learning Torah. And if you're in Shana Bet, then even more so. An extra year of learning Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shined His countenance upon you. That use that, allow that, allow the emotion to develop. tefillah. That will develop an ahava azam. And then, as you have this sense of all Hashem has done for you, you'll feel an increased desire to attach yourself to Hashem. Ki birotosh Hashem itbarachu lanu la'av mamash umarachem aleinu ka'av al banim. There is a midah connected to midah that works here. Or kamayim panim al panim. If someone, you walk past someone and they smile at you, you have a desire to smile back. If you see that someone's friendly towards you, you say, hey, I have a friend in them, and let me turn towards them. If you look at someone, and as you look at them, they kind of look away from you, then you feel like, oh, we're not friends. And then you say, yeah, I'll be careful not to talk to them. We respond in kind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always shining His countenance to us the whole time. He's always saying that He loves us. But we may or may not be tuned into that channel to notice it. It's our choice. He's constantly saying, I love you, 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 and here's gifts, and here's gifts, and here's life, and here's Torah, and here's Shema, He's giving to us the whole time. If we choose to notice it, we'll be sensitive to all the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending. And as we're sensitive to it, it will develop within us the Kamayim Panim Al Panim. As He's shining to us, we shine back to Him. It'll be natural. So if you wish to develop a love for Hashem, pay attention to all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you right now. I want to tell you an amazing story that happened. There was a couple that were having issues with Shana Bai. Not the same one as before. The other one, unfortunately, divorced. But this one, Baruch Hashem, stayed together. So they were having issues with Shana Bai. And what was the issue they were having? And this is very common. That they initially, when they first got married, felt a great desire for each other and they loved each other. And this story was roughly a year later. And the kind of hype of initially getting married had passed. And then they'd gone to being normal. And they were feeling disenchanted with one another. And they were thinking maybe it's a mistake. Some people get divorced at that point. Couples who get divorced after a year just because they don't feel the spark anymore, it's a great tragedy. It's such a tragedy. Because it's not a valid reason. And then sometimes those couples then go and marry someone else. The same thing happens the second time. And they realize, oops, am I mistaken? And they work on the second marriage. And the second marriage works, not because it was any better than the first, but just because they realize their mistake and they choose to invest. But this couple we're talking about, they've Baruch Hashem caught it in time. And they went to speak to someone. And that person told them about Rav Dessler and the idea of giving causes loving, that concept. And he said to them, basically, the reason why you're feeling disenchanted is because you're looking at the marriage of what are you going to get out of it. And if you're thinking, what am I taking from it, then you feel deprived. I don't have anything valuable here. What I had initially was fun, exciting, and new horizons of a new marriage. Now, I'm saying I have what I have. It's okay. It's not exciting. So what more can I get? What more can you get? There's not much more to get. So therefore, there's no love developing. So he said, this will save your marriage. Every day, it seems so simple, but it's transformative. Every day, each of you contemplate what can you do for the other person and find three things that you can do for the other person. Physical things to do, compliments to say, whatever it is, three things to do. You're like, really? Like that? He goes, just try it. Try it for a few weeks and see what happens. That was the transformation. Their marriage started developing a love and continued for years and years. And when I asked, like, what made a difference? Like, what happened? They couldn't tell me what it was. They couldn't really understand what it was. But they just said, I just found like they're like a really good person. I felt like I loved them. I don't know how to describe it. Just like I was doing for them. And Rav Dessler says, giving causes of it. So what is it about giving causes of it? So Rav Dessler has one interpretation of what it is. He says that when you give to someone, you've given over part of yourself. And since you love yourself, everyone loves themselves naturally. But since you love yourself, then you feel yourself in them. And then you love the self in them. That's one interpretation. So Rav Dessler explains it. But based on what we're seeing here in the Maseches Shalom, you could explain another idea. When you start giving to another person, then what happens when you give to them? You start saying, why should I give to them? Why should I give? Why do they deserve to be given to? Why should I give to them? And you start to notice, you know, really I should give to them because they've done this for me, they've done that for me. You have to justify when you're doing something. If I'm just giving to them and they don't deserve it, then why should I do it? But because you were told to give, you have to find some justification. Why should I give? You start noticing, you know, they did that for me, that was very nice. I'll give them. And then they start saying, they love me. And even if it's external, that they're giving to me also, they love me, look, they did that for me, starts building. They're doing for me, I'm doing for them, they're coming to me, I'm coming to them. And it starts feeding off one another, feeding, until combined panim on panim, it starts to develop not just an external, but an internal love, and the love just grows and grows and grows. So as long as the person is just looking to take, what am I getting out of this, and they feel selfish, then it's not going to grow. But if they're looking to give, and they start just like, what? I'll give, but why should I give? And they start noticing all the good of the other person. That's what causes them to notice the good of the other person, because they're involved in giving to the other person. They start to develop a love for that person. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, when you notice that the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves you, he's always loving you, he's always giving to you, but when you start paying attention to it, then Yitzorer Bo Behem Shech, not immediately, Behem Shech, first you have to do this effort, do this work of Mitzvah Bonus, Yitzorer Bo Behem Shech, HaChefet HaTeshuka Ligmol Lo Kaben Al Aviv, to give back. Kibbutz Hashem will continue from this point. There's no Musa said with us tomorrow, and then it's Shavuot. So we should naturally continue on Tuesday. The meeting at 8 o'clock.